And now it's time for your daily pet talk on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Good morning. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel with Meg. And it's time for The Garden Line with Mike Wiggins. I think we all should just live. This should be the theme song of life. Be young, be foolish, be happy.
Absolutely. It's nice to get that message from the original Tams.
Yes, sir.
This morning.
Yes, sir.
Good for you, Meg. Got to get our toes tapping on the garden.
Absolutely. Line. A little shag, Carolina shag dancing, and we're on our way.
You've never seen me dance. It's not a not a pretty sight.
Yeah,
but good for you. That's fun.
Well, that welcome fun. Back. We missed you last week.
Oh, I missed y'all. I really did.
Yeah, we missed you.
I really did. Well, just nice to be back. I do want to thank Paul.
He did
from Blue Sky. He is a good guy. He knows what he's doing. And I don't know if Paul mentioned it or not. Of course, his company is has a great reputation for landscaping and that type of thing. But Paul has also gone taking a step further to get a particular license, landscaping license from the state, which is not easy to get.
Right.
So he is well versed on landscaping. I really appreciate him sitting in, and I understand he did a wonderful job.
He did do a great job. He was really good. We better watch out.
Uh-oh.
No, you're irreplaceable.
that is not true. That is not true.
But I think it'd be fun to have the two of you on together.
I'm ready.
Because between the two of you, I don't think there's a question that could go unanswered.
And
seriously.
We've done that before.
Have you? Okay.
Yeah, we've done that before.
Because he's definitely, very knowledgeable. But he was very cute because he said, okay, that's the flower and the brand and all, that's Mike's area. So it was kind of cute.
I know for a fact, I talked to some folks, that Paul addressed one of the questions last week about tall landscaping plants to put along a property line.
Yes, we did talk
exactly.
about that.
Exactly, and I'm sure he made the point that those things are hard to find, but being the landscaper that Paul and Blue Sky, being what the business they're in, have growers who are not available to the general public, where you can get some of those taller, immediate blockage, if you will, along a property line. So that was a question we got.
Yes, we did.
The week before.
We sure did. And just by the way, if you want to text into the Garden Line this morning, 850-437-1620, our first text is from Paul. Good morning, Meg and Mike.
Hey, good morning. Hey, Paul, thank you for last week.
Yeah.
I really appreciate you sitting
great.
In for me. Good for
fun.
You.
We had fun.
Good for you. Great. A couple things to talk about, and we always like to talk about the weather, and that is so important. I watched it closely last night on Channel 3, saying we might get a thunderstorm or two, maybe a little bit of rain, but I tell you, it just doesn't look like it. I'm looking at the radar here, and if we do, it will be very, very little. But then looking ahead, it's going to be dry again. And it has been dry.
It has.
So I think as gardeners and having invested a lot of time and money in spring plants, we have got to pay very close attention to our water.
Mm-hmm.
We really do. Lawns, plants, especially our container plants that we put in the big pots out by the patio or on the front porch, what have you. Because with the lack of rain and with the wind dries these things out quicker than if it's not windy. And so you've got to be watering. On the container plants, it's almost an everyday.
That was going to be my question. How often?
Well, at least every other day. Every day is probably stretching it. But at least every other day. On the lawn, I think we need to go back to our basic schedule, Meg, of when we say, let's water three times a week for 30 minutes. Now, that's easy to say. Now, if you live at the beach or you live in Pace, you may have a different watering schedule. You may have a little more clay in your soil up north, and you may not have to water quite as much. At the beach, you may need to water a little bit more. And you can still go to those 3 days, but you might want to bump up your watering, say, as opposed to 30 minutes, go to 45 minutes. And just kind of watch things. Of course, we want to water in the morning if we can. But that's easy for me to say, and it's not easy for everybody
right.
to do.
Right.
I mean, we all work and have things to do and mm-hmm. schedules to keep and children to take care of. And sometimes you just can't, especially if you don't have a sprinkler system, get out there and water all your plants
right.
early
right.
in the morning. So I always tell people, the rules say do not water in the afternoon because it can cause a fungus. Don't water at noon because it'll evaporate. Water when you can.
Yeah, I would think any water is better than no water.
Just do it. Just do it. Absolutely. So I've looked ahead also long range, and I'll tell you right now, May looks like a very dry month.
Really?
It does. And historically, it is.
Mm-hmm.
And so be careful there. Of course, you got May winds, and I know when I was doing a lot of boating, you kind of looked at April and May, and it was rough so much
mm-hmm.
because of the wind and the weather. So just watch all of that, and just everybody has different locations and different type of grasses and different things they need to take care of, but watch the water.
Okay, that's great advice.
So very important. And you know, one other thing, Meg, to talk about, and this drives me a little nutty. If you've got an oak tree, a live oak tree, you are probably tearing your hair out because of all the leaves
yes.
that are dropping.
Yes.
My neighborhood, you can tell who has the live oak. You don't even have to look for the tree. You just look in the
leaves
gutter.
Everywhere.
And there's just leaves everywhere. I got out there the other day, and I just got obsessed with it. I said, I'm going to get these leaves out of the street,
mm-hmm.
out of the gutter, out of my yard. It was beautiful. It was pristine.
For...
I said, I'm great.
For how long?
The next morning. Right. It was packed with leaves.
So frustrating.
Need to get them up. Get them out of the yard, too, if you can. And here's one reason. A lot of people, I'm not sure if I totally buy this, but a lot of the experts say this. If you have a live oak,
mm-hmm.
You can tell a live oak because the leaves are cup-like as opposed to flat.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And with that cup-like, when you do water, some of the leaves, which are oriented the right way, will hold water.
Hmm.
And if they do, that is where your mosquitoes are going to breed.
Oh.
And so if you don't get the leaves up and out of there, you may have a mosquito problem if you've got a live oak.
Oh, gosh, you just gave me motivation big time because I've been putting it off. Now I'm like, okay.
Oh, absolutely. Now, that's what some of the experts say.
Wow.
I don't know, but we've always said any kind of standing water in your yard, old pots that you don't use anymore that you've got tucked behind the garage or anything that holds water is going to increase your chances of getting mosquitoes.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would recommend raking those leaves, but of course it's going to drive you crazy because I still think we've got some time to go for these leaves to drop. And you get them all up, and there they are back again.
Well, I'm going to have to get out there and do it because I don't want mosquitoes. You definitely motivated me with that one.
Oh, really?
Yeah. All right, we'll be back in just a couple minutes.
Let's do it.
This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel, and The Garden Line with Mike Wiggins. If you've got questions about gardening, landscaping, any and all of the above, just text it in at 850-437-1620, and we'll be back right after the break. Good morning. This is Pep Talk with Meg and the Garden Line with Mike Wiggins. If you have a question for him, 850-437-1620, and they are coming in.
Well, that's great. What we can do, we kind of let's do all our texts first.
That's okay, so you want to do that?
So much fun to do that. But I also have a list here of 10 things that you do not want to do if you would like a nice, lush lawn.
So, oh, I want that list.
We'll get to that before the day's out. Well, let's see what's on everybody's
okay,
mind.
Okay, so we're going to go through these. We got a bunch this morning, so thanks to everybody that's listening in. So the first one was recommended fertilizer for mature live oaks on Bayou Grande.
A couple of ways to do that. If it's a mature live oak, I have always recommended for lawns to use a 16-0-8 formula. 16% nitrogen, slow-release containing iron. Well, that same fertilizer would be great for a mature live oak. And I'm assuming it's in the lawn, so as you fertilize your lawn, you could also fertilize the live oak with that 16-4-8, 16-0-8, whatever you have. Mm-hmm. Just be sure when you fertilize the live oak that you fertilize all the way out to the drip line. That is really important. A lot of people want to just put it right next to the trunk. Mm-hmm. Well, the roots go all the way out much further than you think, and that's the way to fertilize it. Now, if you have a smaller tree for the mature live oak, that's probably the way to do it. But if you have a smaller tree, sometimes people use your tree spikes. Tree spikes are fertilizer that's it's about 5 inches tall, just about an inch round, mm-hmm. and it's hard. And you tap them into the ground out along the drip line. Mm-hmm. Now, that's an easy way to do it, but it's also the slow way to do it. That fertilizer release is very, very slow. So, but it's just something to consider. But I would say on the mature live oak, use the granular fertilizer. Even if you can't find a 16-0-8, find a formula that's close to that, and be sure it's slow release, contains iron, contains other minor elements, that's granular. Be sure it has all those qualities, and you'll do fine.
That's great. Thank you for sending that question.
That's a good one. Thanks.
Okay, we got a question, not really a question, but a comment. We were talking about sky landscaping with Paul. So someone sent in Mark Guerra with GTF Nursery is great. He said he got his bamboo from, let's see, he writes here, Mark is a super guy, cool guy, and we got some bamboo from him that was at least 15 feet tall when we got it. Wow. We used it for screening and our backyard neighbors.
You know, bamboo has got sometimes a bad reputation.
It does. Right?
Now, I'm going to say this. If you're using bamboo for screening, mm-hmm. you're using the right plant, because bamboo not only will give you visual screening, but bamboo will give you noise screening.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah, it's good for that. What you have to be careful is buy the right kind of bamboo. I'm going to say traditional bamboo, once you've got it, love it. You're probably not going to be able to ever get rid of it.
Interesting.
And
okay.
Sometimes it will come up in your living room. Be careful about that. There is a bamboo called clump bamboo. And if Paul's listening, I know he probably uses that some places. Clump bamboo doesn't have the runners, if you will, mm-hmm. that just will go everywhere. Mm-hmm. But bamboo does have its good qualities. It sure will give you good screening, and the kids can make pea shooters out of it. Have you ever done that? When we were kids.
No.
I'm getting way off here, but I was in elementary school. We had a big hedge of bamboo, big bamboo, and we would cut about a foot length of it.
Oh, my goodness.
It's hollow.
Oh, I can see it,
make a pea shooter out of it.
Oh, that's very
which
funny.
Which we're not supposed to do. But we didn't do it.
Our future mayor running around in the backyard pea shooter.
Oh, that's right.
I love it. Okay, thank you so much for that comment. Now we have another question. I have four small gardenia plants I put in last year. They have not bloomed yet. The leaves are not deep green. I think I heard you say they need iron. What should I do, and what should I use, and how can I apply it?
Right. Good question. Gardenias, of course, are known for that, for kind of needing some iron to help get those leaves looking nice and green. But you can use iron. And if you're going to use just iron, that's good. You can buy granular iron, but be sure it says chelated iron.
Okay.
That's going to release better into the plant. But you can also buy on any garden center shelf fertilizer called azalea, camellia, and gardenia fertilizer. They are very acid-loving plants, and with all that iron, they really, really can perk up if you use that fertilizer or use the iron by itself. But yes, I would do it, and I would do it now.
Okay.
That's a good way to do it. The chelated iron is probably best put on as a liquid, water-soluble, mix it up, put it on the plant. The azalea camellia fertilizer, of course, is a granular, mm-hmm. which has all the iron in it, plus other minor elements. And we always call them minor elements because there's not much in the fertilizer, but I don't think they're minor at all. I think they're major. I think once you get all those minor elements on your plant, plus the nitrogen, phosphate, and potash, which are the three numbers, you've got the right product.
Excellent. Okay, yeah. Very good. All right, Catherine sent in and wanted to let us know. Hey, Catherine, there's a Master Gardener plant sale this weekend. Write this down, 6263 Dogwood Drive in Milton, Saturday the 26th, and it's, 2,400 native plants.
Wow.
That's a lot. So thank you, Catherine, for that. So,
hey, Catherine, before you go, I was gone last week, so I wasn't able to wish you a happy Easter. Hope you had a great Easter, and thank you for always keeping us informed about what's happening in the community, and also send us some great pictures of things that she does.
Oh, she's very good. So we appreciate you very much, Catherine.
Thanks, Catherine.
Okay, we're going to have to take a break already.
Let's do it.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break. We've got more texts and questions coming in. If you have one, 850-437-1620. This is The Garden Line with Mike Wiggins on News Radio 92.3 and Pep Talk. Good morning. This is Pep Talk in the Garden Line with Mike Wiggins. If you've got a text or a question about gardening, landscaping, all of the above, 850-437-1620. And we do have some more if you're ready.
Yes.
For some more questions?
Oh, yes.
Okay, so we've got, this is from Lisa in Milton. She says, hello, we are having a problem with our neighbor's bamboo running shoots over into our yard. Very invasive. So is there anything they can do about that?
I don't know of anything that can be done for that. Of course, what you would think would be you could put Roundup on it, which is systemic, which works through the whole plant system and gets to the roots. But those roots go a long way, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. Lisa could probably tell us how long. But to do that, just technically, and I'm not sure this would really work this way, you put a systemic Roundup on the roots that are coming up in your yard, the foliage coming up in your yard, it's going to go to your neighbor's, the plant, and do some damage.
Right.
So I don't know how that would do for neighborhood relations.
Right.
But I don't know of anything. That is why I mentioned earlier that if you are going to do bamboo for whatever reason, the clump bamboo, and I would love, if my friend Paul is listening, I would like to be sure that clump bamboo is still available. The traditional bamboo is, but what Lisa is saying is the problem with bamboo. Like I say, it'll come up in your living room. It just will travel a long way.
Wow.
So, that is the problem with bamboo. Lisa, I wish I had an answer. Now, Lisa, I think this is Lisa from Milton is doing some above-ground gardening.
Mm-hmm.
Container gardening. I wonder if she's still doing that.
I'm not sure if that's, it says Lisa from Milton, so yeah, probably
so
is the same
so.
One. Okay.
I'm not sure. But anyway, Lisa from Milton's been a great listener. We appreciate it.
Okay,
thanks. Wish we had an answer for the bamboo.
I know. All right, well, here's another question. When will the grass begin to turn fully green? It seems like that half of the grass is still dormant right now.
You know, that's it's so true. And that is why we have recommended we kind of wait to fertilize. Now, here we are almost to May 1st. You may want to go ahead and do it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the grass is, in many cases, coming back slower than it has in other years. Now, we got to blame it on something. So let's blame it on the snow.
There you go.
I always said I thought the snow would help our grass because obviously it was thick. And when it melted, all that water went down into the roots. And the roots were still growing.
Right.
So I thought that might help. But I don't know why we're a little slow on coming out of dormancy. But I think in some cases, I look around my neighborhood, and she's absolutely right. In some cases, that's happening. And not much we can do about it except let's go back to our original thought. The one word, water.
Water. Water. There you go. Water. All right. We're going to take a break for the news, and then we'll be back with Mike and the Garden Line on Pep Talk on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Good morning. This is Pep Talk and the Garden Line with Mike Wiggins. If you have a question about gardening, landscaping, all of the above, 850-437-1620. Mike, they are rolling in this morning. I think everybody's really, with the beautiful weather, everybody's gardening.
Oh, no question about it.
So I got one for you. Good morning. I know I'm off topic, but I have used Mel's Mix for square foot gardening before. It's a third compost, a third peat moss, a third vermiculite, but having a hard time finding at least 4 cubic feet.
Vermiculite.
Thank you. You're vermiculite. Any ideas where to get it or alternative pre-mixed soil suggestions for raised garden beds? Thank you so much, Andrea.
Okay, a couple of things. Number one, I think Larry out of Pensacola Seed and Garden, I know he does business with some wholesalers who should have that 4 cubic foot of vermiculite. Back in our retail days, we sold a bunch of that as a soil amendment, give you some drainage and that type of thing. So I bet you can find it with Larry at Pensacola Seed and Garden. If that doesn't work, I would try Werner Turf. They have a lot of chemicals and planting amendments and that type of thing. They should be able to help you also. Very interesting, your mixture sounds great, but I'm going to ask, I don't know how you're going to work this, but Lisa from Milton.
Yes.
Sent us some pictures.
Yes.
We've seen those pictures before, and they are spectacular above ground gardening.
It looks beautiful.
I would love, if Lisa doesn't mind, to share with the gentleman who's looking for the vermiculite what her mixture is in those planters.
Okay, that's Andrea that's asking that question about the vermiculite.
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe
Lisa can share with Andrea.
Lisa can share with Andrea if she can let us know, because I would like to know, too, kind of what your mixture is in those big, I call them tubs, that you grow so many beautiful plants in.
Yeah, it's just great.
Spectacular. It really is. But, share that with us. But going back to the original question, Larry at Pensacola Seed may not have it in stock, but I bet he can order for you. And I think he gets deliveries at least once a week.
Okay. So speaking of pictures, we also got a picture from Joe, who was talking about his bamboo. And so he says here that ours are the clumping bamboo. We got 2 different varieties from 2 different sellers. The green ones came from GTF. The honey golds came from Pinelands Tree Farm in Milton. And we've had them in there for about 4 years now.
And they look great.
Oh, my gosh.
They
huge.
Just look great. They really do. I really appreciate the pictures and appreciate kind of following up with us on the clump bamboo as being the one that you should plant if you want to plant bamboo. Because like I said, I had a customer one time who lived on Bio Boulevard, and in a subdivision right next to Bio Boulevard, and had all that bamboo along the fence between the backyard and Bio Boulevard itself.
Mm-hmm.
And it really, really helped with noise abatement.
That's
it
so
really
interesting.
Did.
Yeah.
And so that's just another reason that the bamboo was desirable for them. Plus, this is very scientific. I just think it looks kind of cool.
Yeah,
you
know, cool factor.
If you can plant that clump and not have it come up everywhere, then you've got a fun plant.
Okay. All right. Well, we've got another question now. We've been talking about gardenias, too, this morning. So this comes from Bob. He says, Mike, good morning. My potted gardenia is starting to bloom. I am concerned about the gnarly appearance of some of the buds and the sudden yellowing of the leaves. And he sent a picture, but we just haven't had a chance to look at it. But
yeah,
any advice on
that? The yellowing of the leaves, and this is another scientific observation, gardenias will do that.
Oh, okay.
they will do. They'll get that yellow leaves. I would go back to what we talked about earlier. I would use fertilizer on it that contains iron. And as I said, there are fertilizers made especially for azaleas, camellias, and gardenias, because they all three of those varieties of plants like acid-forming fertilizer.
Mm-hmm.
Chelated iron is good. Do it liquid. But I would certainly go back and use the iron to help with the yellowing of the leaves. I think that's going to correct itself.
Mm-hmm.
You may not have to do anything. And I wouldn't worry about the blooms. The blooms are probably going to be okay. But I'll say it again. I've broken a record this morning. Watch your water.
Mm.
Because once those plants suffer from a little bit of drought, you are going to have some blossom problems. So watch your water. Very important.
Okay, back to the other question with Lisa and Andrea talking about the potted plants. Lisa just sent in flower and vegetable garden soil mixed with peanut hay with cow manure.
Wow.
There you go.
That's different than Andrea.
That was from Lisa.
From Lisa.
For Andrea.
For Andrea.
Andrea. depending.
Lisa, thank you. That is so interesting. I've never heard of that particular mixture before, but it's organic, very organic.
Right.
And so I just think that's one reason that Lisa has such success, because she's got that special mixture. And I hope Andrea enjoyed that too. Maybe it'll give her some hints.
Well, this is getting fun this morning, because now Paul has sent in a response to the gardenia question that we just had. He says, feed the gardenia, especially since it is potted. Mike is right, with a big smiley face.
Oh, okay. Very good. Thank you, Paul. I'm just going to sit back and let
I know.
Let
I said,
our listeners
don't
talk
need me.
To each
I'll
other.
Just have a cup of coffee and
well,
come back.
I'm going to say this. I've said it 1,000 times, Meg, how much we appreciate our listeners.
It's wonderful.
And we have some great regular listeners. Lisa from Milton and Catherine
and
everybody who joins in. And we really appreciate it, because let me tell you right now, there is some gardening talent out there in Pensacola. There's no doubt about it. And we hear from them a lot.
Okay. I was trying to read this.
That's okay.
Here. Okay. I'm getting core aeration done. What is the best top dress material to add after?
I'm not sure you need it.
Okay.
I sometimes don't really believe you need that top dressing. I think if you have undulations in your lawn, sometimes you need to even it up with some top dressing, which really is just sand. I don't think you need to put any kind of compost or topsoil. Just sand on, you know, builder sand will work.
Okay.
To even it out. But if you're doing the core aeration, I think that's probably all you need to do.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed, you know, also you got to do your fertilization and your watering and all of that stuff. But I don't think I would recommend anything on top of that.
Okay. So thank you, Steve, for that question.
Thanks, Steve.
Okay. We've got all the text in now. I really want to hear this not to do list.
I lost it.
Of course you did.
I've got it. Okay. This list, I can't remember where I read it, but it's the things 10 things not to do.
I love these.
If
lists.
You would like a beautiful lawn in Pensacola.
Okay.
All right. Number one, this is basic stuff.
Okay.
Right? But sometimes it doesn't hurt to go over it again. One, scalping your lawn, mowing it too short is exactly what you don't want to do. I have gone through my neighborhood.
Right.
And, of course, as the person who called earlier about the grass coming out of dormancy a little slower, people have cut it way down. I bet cut it down to an inch or so.
Mm.
I just think that is bad, because especially with our grasses, with these stolons that run, it opens it up. And when you open up that system, if you will, weeds galore are going to come in. So mow it high. Mow it high. Remember, 4 inches St. Augustine, 3 inches centipede, 2 inches zoysia.
All right. On that note, we're going to take a quick break and come back with the other 9 things not to do with your lawn. Good morning. This is The Garden Line on Pep Talk on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable, 850-437-1620. If you've got a question for Mike, who is the host of Garden Line each week. Okay. The not to do's.
Okay,
got
number,
one down.
Number
a few
two.
More to go.
We've already covered this one.
Okay.
So I'll be very brief on this one.
Okay.
This is something not to do. Water your lawn at the wrong time.
Okay. We talked about that.
Okay, this is a test, Meg. What is the wrong time?
Never at noon.
Oh, right on. Right on. Why? Why?
Well, because it's just going to evaporate. I'm paying attention.
What do you need me for?
Oh, no. You would not want to be asking me these questions.
Exactly. But
I'm here to learn.
But also watering at night. Now, this is where we get to real life. Some people get up early, go to work, get home, and all the time they have to do this is in the late afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
But you do it at night, you know, late afternoon at night, you are subject to disease on the grass.
Oh.
I always kind of equate it, if you get a wet pair of tennis shoes and throw it in the closet. You know, it just doesn't work.
No.
So point is, watering at the wrong time is what you don't want to do. Okay, number three, mowing your lawn with a dull lawnmower blade is something you don't want to do.
No.
Exactly. And that's why this time of year, I say this time of year, earlier might have been better, once a year, get those lawnmower blades sharpened. Because here's what happens, especially with St. Augustine grass. you have a dull blade, it just rags it all, rags the top off.
Mm.
And that opens up the system on St. Augustine for Rosoctonia brown patch fungus.
You're just showing off now.
I just made that up. No. Brown patch fungus is just something that gets into St. Augustine, and it's so hard to get rid of. It starts in a little circle, and it gets bigger, bigger and bigger, and has these brown burnt edges around it.
Oh, my God. But just the name of it sounds awful.
Sometimes it can start when you are mowing with a dull lawnmower blade. So if you want a nice lawn, do not do that. Okay. Now, fertilizing the grass at the wrong time. And we've preached this sermon now for the last couple of months.
Mm-hmm.
But earlier was not the time to do it. You do want the grass to be almost out of dormancy, which goes back to our caller earlier, mm-hmm. who was observing that the grass is coming out a little slower. If you haven't done it yet, you have not made a mistake. I would almost wait till May. Let's get it. Let's get our 80 degrees during the day, that grass totally out of dormancy, and then fertilize it. And fertilize it with the right thing, nitrogen, phosphate, potash. You want that nitrogen, that first number, mm-hmm. to be the big number.
Okay.
Now, I will say this. If you're going to fertilize with the right thing, be careful. And I always say this. I bought a bag of fertilizer 1 year that had 24% nitrogen, which is okay, as long as it's slow release. But the bag said this whole bag will cover 12,000 square feet.
Wow.
So this is where we all, when we buy fertilizer, we need to do our arithmetic.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you are putting the fertilizer on your yard,
right.
and you only have a 5,000 square foot lawn, you're only going to use half of that bag of fertilizer.
Right.
Save the other half for the summer, mm-hmm. especially if you have St. Augustine grass. So you don't want to put too much because you can burn it.
Mm.
You can burn it because you don't want to buy a bag of fertilizer that says this covers 12,000 square feet and put it on a 3,000 square foot lawn. It can really ruin it. So be very, very careful about fertilizing at the right time and with the right product.
Okay.
And we'll always end up this discussion with weed and feed fertilizer. We don't like it. We don't recommend it. I wouldn't use it.
Okay. Back to watering. Someone just sent in a quick question for you.
Yes.
My sprinklers come on at about 4 a.m. Is that okay?
That's fine.
Okay.
That's good. I always tell people 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning is a good time to do it.
Okay.
So yes.
All right.
Exactly. And of course, just set your time. And of what we've been saying, I think we even said it earlier today, 3 times a week for 30 minutes right now, considering how dry it is. But depending on where you live,
mm-hmm.
if you live way up north, you might get by with twice a week. If you live at the beach, you may get by doing it 4 times a week. It just depends on your own situation, on the type of soil you have in your yard.
Okay, great questions coming in. You got another comment. This is from John. He says, bamboo super fan here.
All right.
He says, I started with 1 3-gallon pot of Graceful Weaver, which is a light clumper, and kept dividing it and repotting it into 25-gallon half barrels. Now I have a full double hedge of 64 half barrels, wow, 25-plus feet tall down my fence. It does block noise, and the birds love to nest in it, too.
Yes,
Love the show.
Oh, that is great.
Thanks, John.
I wonder, I wish John could tell us, if you're still listening, John, how long did it take you from the time you planted that bamboo till it got to that height? How long did it take you? It's not a real slow grower, but it's not the fastest either.
That's phenomenal. Okay.
Yeah, that is great.
Yeah.
Great observation. Thank you very much. So cool. Okay, you ready?
Yes, sir.
Okay, where are we here? Let me find my
3 or 4, I think.
Okay. Don't mow your lawn if it's wet.
Oh, I've never thought
about
that.
The grass will clump up,
mm-hmm.
and you just don't want to do that. By the same token, if the grass is wet and you have sprayed a post-emergence weed killer on there, like Trimec to kill dollarweed, like you might want to do this time of year, don't water that in. Let that chemicals stay on the weed. By the same token, if you've put out fertilizer, don't put fertilizer out if it's wet. Put it out when it's dry and then water it in. Now, we have to go to life itself. Sometimes the only time you've got
right.
is when that grass is wet and it's time to fertilize your yard. Not a problem, but you've got to water on top of that fertilizer, get it in. You don't want to sit on a wet blade of grass because that can discolor it.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay. John just texted us back and it said it took about 4 years for the bamboo to grow.
Great.
It's that big.
Okay. And if you're looking, you know, we've had callers lately, Meg, wanting to have hedges, you know, tall hedges to cordon off their property. Might want to consider that clump bamboo.
There you go. All right, we'll be right back. I'll take a quick break here. This is The Garden Line on Pep Talk. Good morning. This is Pep Talk on The Garden Line. And guess what today is?
It's Earth Day.
We would be remiss.
Why didn't we talk about that
earlier? I know. We were remiss at not mentioning that in a gardening show.
Oh, absolutely. And Earth Day, just where we celebrate the environment.
Yes.
The things that we can do to improve the environment. I know they had the big rally down at, I think it was at Bayview Park
this past weekend.
Exactly.
Some friends went,
And I congratulate all the people who participated in that and many organizations that are working on improving our environment, protecting our environment.
Mm-hmm.
And I have two things.
Yes, sir.
Two things that I always say when we start talking about protecting the environment.
Okay.
The first one is IPM, Integrated Pest Management.
Ah.
If you have problems in your yard, and it just has to be solved with chemicals, if you will, only treat that area that needs treating. Don't over-treat your entire yard, for example, with weed killer,
right.
that type of thing. Spray where the weeds are. I always say get a pump-up sprayer, okay, and go right to the weed. That will protect a lot of those extra chemicals from washing into our system. And also, and this is one I get, a lot of people don't agree with me.
Okay.
If you are doing pruning in your yard, raking leaves, and you put them in a big bag.
Right.
All right. Don't put them in the street. Put them in your yard. Nowadays, I'll speak for the city, has got equipment that will not damage your yard if those bags are sitting in your yard.
Okay.
But if they're sitting in the street, two things can happen. One, it can pour rain and it washes all that trash into the stormwater system.
Oh, not good.
Or the street sweepers come by and they come to your yard and you want to get, and that stuff is sitting in the street, they have to go around it, and so you're not getting the service from the street sweeper.
Gotcha.
So those are just two things that we all need to do to protect the environment.
Okay. We're running out of time.
We're
thank you so much. It's The Garden Line with Mike Wiggins.
This was fun.
All right. Thank you, Mike.
Thanks, our caller.